English countryside had fallen on hard times and decided to establish a business to defray their expenses, such as a bakery or winery. Being English, however, they decided to open up a fish and chips restaurant. The establishment soon became very popular, attracting people from all over the countryside. One city fellow, thinking himself rather clever, asked one of the brothers standing nearby, "I suppose you're the fish fryer, eh?" "No," answered the brother levelly, "I'm the chipmunk." Oh, come on, pity laughs, at least, all right. That has nothing to do with my message this morning, but we love to laugh, don't we? This morning we're continuing our Follow series. We have covered how to learn to be with Jesus, and learning that following Jesus requires us and encourages us to become close to who Jesus is, to learn what he does, to make the same movements that he does. We've learned to listen to Jesus. We need to hear what he has to say for us, to us, in a variety of different ways. Last week, we talked about learning to heal. And the first step of that is understanding his sacrifice on the cross, what we just celebrated today in the form of communion. Jesus was thinking about us when he went to that cross. And every scar was paid for, was gone to pay for our healing and our restoration. When we understand that, we can begin to heal emotionally, mentally, physically. Jesus paid for it all. Today we're talking about learning to influence. If you're following along in your follow books with us, that is attribute number 4, learn to influence. And as I was studying for my message today, I have resources that I'm going off of as I go through here, and I really didn't like either of the resources that I was given for this message today, and I was really inspired in the middle of my message to really construct my own message. So I wrote this, and I believe wholeheartedly this is God. God wants to speak this to you today. He is going to use this message to change your life in a different and new way today. The question we want to ask ourselves first is, what is influence? If we're learning to influence, we should know what it is, or what's the definition. Webster's defines influence as a power affecting a person, thing, or course of events, especially one that operates without any direction or apparent effort. Influence is something that you have in someone else's life. You have influence over them or with this other person, with this thing. You make a change. You force a change. Someone is influenced or changed by something you've done. Okay? Following Jesus this morning involves influence. This force that drives people to care about the things that you say or have a reaction to the things that you say. And this morning we're learning that following Jesus, this is a key to following Jesus. And that this is a two-way street. More on that later. Influence this morning is a byproduct of trust. Influence is a byproduct of trust. Think about something this morning, someone, who you really trust with your ideas, or your thoughts, your emotions. Hopefully your spouse is one of those people you can fully trust, but maybe a good friend as well, a close confidant. Hopefully me. I hope you trust me. If you have an issue, to come talk to me, and I would keep your confidence as well. But think about someone, not specifically me, okay? But just think about someone, okay? Anyone, it could be anyone, who you can trust with your ideas and your thoughts. Wouldn't you say that that person has some influence over you or your decisions? Wouldn't you say that person has some influence in the choices that you make because you trust them and you would confide in them with something, an issue or a problem or a struggle? If not, I would humbly ask you to reevaluate the level of trust that you have in that friend. You see, when you trust someone, you're innately saying, I value your opinion, I value what you think of me, and I'm going to take stock in what you say, right? You trust that person, you say, I'm going to take stock in the things that you say. The thing about influence is it's not earned easily. Influence is not earned easily. Honest relationships and genuine passion are the only way to successfully cultivate long-lasting influences. Followers have to slow down, walk amongst the crowd, so to speak, and connect with them on a personal and honest level. If you were trying to influence someone and you just tried to overpower them and say, oh, this is the way it has to be, this is just the way it is, do it. But you never earned their trust by connecting with them as a person on their personal level, you're not going to have a lot of influence. They might respond to what you say out of fear, maybe even out of respect, but not out of influence. This morning, if you want to be an influencer in your children's lives, in your responsibilities on a day-to-day basis, and also as a believer who hopefully desires to win others to Christ, you need to connect with someone on a personal level. You need to learn to respect them and connect with them on this way in humility, not saying, oh, I'm better than you, or I'm stronger than you, or I know more than you, so you better listen to me. It's more like, hi, I can relate to you. I won't care about you. Please listen to what I have to say. And someone who respects you in that way and trusts you in that way, you will have influence over. You will be able to influence their lives, hopefully for the positive, of course. Influence is fragile. It can also be lost very quickly. Once again, the key to not losing your influence is to stay humble, to value people. If people who are serving you, or people who are working underneath you, people who you want to have influence in, for whatever reason, don't feel like you value them as a person, you're not going to have influence. You're not going to be able to make them do anything, except maybe, like I said, out of fear. And that is not a healthy relationship. If you stay humble and you value people, if people really know that you care about them, if people really believe that you care about them because you show it, you will have influence in their lives. Influence can also be dangerous. It is a powerful thing, influence. People like Hitler influenced people to murder 17 million civilians. People like Charles Manson led his family to kill several innocent people in California. These people used influence in a very negative way. It is a powerful force of nature. But also, influence is a means to accomplishing the mission. Martin Luther King Jr. was able to rally millions behind his cause and serve as one of the major catalysts for social reform in the United States. Billy Graham used his social and spiritual influence to lead more than 2.5 million people to Christ over the course of his crusades. These leaders created movements for the good, for positive change in this world. Their motives were aligned with the gospel and with Jesus Christ. And because of that, their influence will be known in a positive light for decades and generations to come. The thing we need to understand this morning is that while we all have influence in some areas of our life, if we are a believer, if we have accepted who Christ is, Jesus has influenced us. When we come to a place where we accept Jesus, when we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this alone. I mess things up on my own. I have broken relationships on my own. I don't live a God-honoring life on my own. When we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I need you. You fill in those gaps. You help me. It is only through you then I can have peace and fulfillment in this life. When we understand that and come to that place and ask His for His salvation, He changes us. There is influence there in your life, and He changes who you are. We have a short video that I want to show you guys. It's a testimony, and it shows the life change that can come because of accepting Jesus and giving our lives over to Him.
There's so many things I love about my life, and music is one of those. It's what I do as a job. I don't wake up every day and think, man, I got a musical career, and I'm gonna go make a record today. But I just as much enjoy just loving on people. I love when I get into a youth group, and I love finding the underdog. I love finding the kid in the corner that you know is the outcast, and I love going up to that kid and putting my arm around that kid. I could do stuff like that for the rest of my life and not sing another song. Grew up playing drums, wrote my first song when I was 5 years old, was able to hear a pop song and be able to play it. And I was in the choir in a little Baptist church, and my heart was really after the Lord. All I wanted to do was just pick up a guitar and sing praise songs. God had a call in my life, and music was supposed to be a part of that. For some reason, it was contagious to me. It made me light up. It was a beautiful time in my life. It sort of anchored me. I felt like I was riding a wave that really was something very, very pure, and that really penetrated into my heart. This is just what I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, when I got to 17, all my older friends went off to college, and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee to be a songwriter. I was playing in after-hours bars from 1:30 to 5:30, just in a bunch of trouble. And I began to be enticed that maybe you could play with the fire, you won't get burned. Little did I know that I would be in the biggest pit of my life and feeling like there was no way of escape. Smoking that first joint and feeling so guilty about it. From there it went to, you know, it was cocaine, it was LSD. And I'm just in the thick of it, man. I'm just doing this stuff, and I got sucked into this thing. For some reason, I justified it. You lose perspective. It's almost like your compass sort of just like disappears, and you enter this whole other world, and you don't really realize it's going down, and then all of a sudden, it's too late. You know, I'd flash back to those times when I was 15 going, just really, hearing the voice of God going, I've got a call on your life. I knew where I belonged. I just couldn't get out of the mess that I was in. And I was very depressed. That went on for 3 years until I had near-death experience and snorting something that you thought was cocaine, and it was something else, and thought I was going to die. Literally thought I'm dying. And that's when I began to pray that God would do whatever He had to do to get my attention. I need to be rescued. Everything began to change. And in November of 79, I got rescued at 12:30 at night on the linoleum floor of my kitchen, right outside of Nashville. I went on the floor and just began to shake. And I was crawled up like a baby, you know. And I was just weeping. I was weeping. And I wept and I wept and I cried and I cried. Just like, and I just began to just cry out for God, the God of the universe. Came and wept with me on that floor, and I haven't been the same since. It all changed. I made up my mind that I would hold myself accountable. I would surround myself with great people. You know, one thing led to another. 8 months later, I got my first songwriting contract. I was getting paid $200 a week to write songs. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. And then all of a sudden, I found myself getting a record deal. And I'm in the studio 14 hours a day, and I'm writing songs. And, you know, all of a sudden, I'm opening up for Amy Grant, and I'm doing my own tours. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself filling arenas. Never could have orchestrated any of this. And so, been pretty remarkable. God's faithful. I know now what the real deal is, and I know now that selling millions of records doesn't bring you peace, and I know where my hope lies. It's not being a rock star. All that stuff dissipates, but it never lasts. It doesn't last. The greatest peace that I have is I know who I am. I'm a son of the High King of the Universe. My identity crisis is solved. I am Michael W. Smith, and I am second.
So yeah, Michael W. Smith. And but what amazing testimony, whoever he is. Amazing testimony of how God is his transformative power. When we ask him, when we lay down who we are, and say, Jesus Christ, I need you. He does an amazing work. He influences our life as well. He doesn't force things upon us, but he influences when we allow him. We have that choice. And because of that influence that he has in our life, and for thanksgiving for what he has done and promises to do, we, therefore, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, are called to influence others. We're going to break down our passage today, and we're going to look at it in different parts and ask the questions, what, who, and how? And our passage this morning comes from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Would you stand with me, if you can, for the reading of God's word today? Because I need all the help I can get. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have influenced us, those that have who call themselves your child. You have influenced us. You have changed our lives and renewed our hearts. Lord, and we pour out that thanksgiving today, and we give it back to you as we are called to go and to influence. Lord, I pray that these words would not be mine, but that they would be yours. Bless us today in your name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I have a little aside note and aside this morning that this call, this what is known in theological terms as the Great Commission, is not just for pastors, not just for prophets, not just for evangelists or missionaries, because first of all, this was not just the 11 attending. 1 Corinthians 15, 6 tells us, gives us a little inside view that this was not just the 11 attending, but could be as many, scholars believe, as many as 500 people, 500 followers gathered together as Jesus was coming down and reading and saying this scripture, which is the close of the Gospel of Matthew. Over 500 people saw this, and the disciples, as we know, even if it was just the 11, the disciples, as we know, were not perfect people. They were not super spiritual. They were everymen. They were just like everybody else. They kind of blended in. They had their own struggles. They had their own issues. Some were outgoing. Some were passionate. Some were open their mouths when they shouldn't have. All right. Some kept to themselves and were more reserved and introverted. But these disciples were not super spiritual beings. Jesus had given them the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit on the inside. They were some of the first to receive it, but they hadn't even had the baptism yet. So they hadn't had the infilling, overfilling power that Jesus promised them. They were not saints. This emphasizes the idea of the priesthood of all believers. Anyone who is a believer has the authority in Christ and can go. So the first question we need to ask today is, what should we do with our influence? We have influence in this world. We all have someone or something who we have influence in. As our goal as believers is to have influence in more people's lives. But what should we do with this power? The first thing he says is to go. To go. But the cool thing about this is in the ancient Greek, which this passage was written in, the word go is not the actual main command of this passage. It is actually a present participle. It says, as it's the word going, or as you are going. You see, going, Jesus says here in this, is expected behavior. Now that you're saved, now that you know the truth, now that you are armed with the gospel, the story of my life, Jesus says, and as you are going, he takes it for granted. Oh, you're saved? Sure, you're going to go out. You're going to go to more people. You're not going to stay put or shelter yourself or just only other talk to other believers. You're going to go and interact in the world. It's expected of us all. What is your sphere of influence this morning? Where are the places or the environments that you go to where you have influence? But this going command is something for all of us. It is something expected. It spurs out of thanksgiving, as we talked about. The real command and the real focus of this passage is not even to go. It's expected. As you are going, you should make disciples. And make is the strong command in this paragraph, in this passage. To make disciples is the command. How do you make disciples? Jesus goes on even further and says, by baptizing them and teaching them. These are also present participles. As you go, make disciples. How do you make disciples? By baptizing them and by teaching them everything, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. What do disciples do? If someone who is a disciple, what should they do? They should get baptized and they should get taught. They should learn more about what the Bible says, about all the things that Jesus says. And what should we do as we are going? We should baptize people. That implies salvation. It implies a commitment to who Christ is. And it implies a public declaration. That's what baptism is. We should baptize people, and we should be the ones to teach them. What should we teach them? Everything I have commanded. This is encouraging of small groups where two or three are gathered. We've mentioned this in several times now in the past. Encouraging the idea of small, coming together as like-minded believers, finding common ground, and then growing in each who we in and through one another. Being encouraged by each other, being encouraged by the body, using those gifts. What else have we been commanded? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We need to take the word of God and learn how to use it to correct people when they're out of line, to encourage people when they are doing the right thing, to rebuke people when they need a little slap on the wrist, when they need to, when, once again, they're out of line or not biblically based. The question I have for you today is, who are you discipling? Who in that sphere of influence are you training? Are you leading? If you have a sphere where you have influence in someone's life, if there is that trust established, if there is that ability, that relationship has been there, are you teaching? Are you discipling? Are you baptizing? Maybe not go out to a lake and baptize them, but you could if they're willing, okay? But are you showing them the gospel and being Jesus to them? Your family, fathers, mothers, You have a responsibility to be teaching your children about the Word. It's not just the church's responsibility. We as a church want to come beside you and help you to do that, but it is your responsibility to be teaching the gospel. You are the people that your kids see the most often. So not only will they hear the words that you teach them, they see, even more importantly, the actions that you take. Are those actions reflecting what Jesus does? We're not perfect, okay? We're not going to be right all the time. Stuff happens. We're going to react out of tiredness or frustration or impatience or anger. But more often than not, who are they seeing? Your ministry. If you serve in a ministry, if you are a leader over a ministry, do they see the heart of Jesus coming through you in the way that you interact with your teachers or your kids or your people who you're under ministry? Whatever you do, do they see you acting like Jesus in this way? Are you discipling them? Are you encouraging them in your actions and in your words how to live out a life of Jesus? And in your friends, even if your friends don't believe, are you being an example of who Christ is to them? When they start gossiping, do you remove yourself from the conversation? Do you shut it down and say, we shouldn't be talking about this behind their back? Are you being an example of the love of Christ in your sphere of influence? That's what we should do with our influence. We should go, we should make disciples. But who should we influence? Who should we go to? Who should we be discipling? Who should we be teaching? The answer is clear and is written in Scripture. All nations. All nations. Jesus clarified this once already. Acts 1:8 gives us a picture of a previous conversation he's had with his disciples. And he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus basically zooms out on Google Maps and shows us a picture of who should we be influencing right here. Jerusalem, that was their town. That was their general vicinity, their backyard, their neighborhood. Judea is the whole surrounding area. That's who they should be influencing. And then he goes to Samaria, which is even zoomed further out. But these are people that are the Samaritans. They're not like them. They don't think like them. They are a different breed is how they were considered back in those days. They're less than because they were half-breeds. Very derogatory, but that's how the Jews and the Samaritans looked at their relationship. It was very contentious. So he said, in Jerusalem, in your backyard, in Judea, your surrounding area, your county, in Samaria, to those that are living with you that you may not agree with, that don't have the same views as you, that don't have the same skin color as you. What are you doing to influence them? And then he says, finally, to the ends of the earth. That includes everyone. Every continent, every nation, every person in the world. That's very blatantly saying the world. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow. That's a big command. How do we do that? Well, to the ends of the earth, sometimes when we can't go ourselves, we send our resources, we send our funds. We support groups like Convoy of Hope. We support tons of missionaries over there that are out there going, preaching the gospel, and doing right now. And in that way, we can be the hands of feet. We pray for them. Prayers are powerful. Amen. Prayers are powerful. But what is the key to all of this? What is the key to this going, baptizing, making disciples? The Holy Spirit is the key. Acts 1:8 tells us, go and wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses. We need to have that power. We need to have that extra dose of the Holy Spirit power to really be effective in our ministry. Unrelated to our sermon today, pause just a second. Coming right back to this. But funny thing, Acts 1:7, which is not often quoted, Jesus says, the disciples come to him and say, what should we do? How do we know when your kingdom is coming? How do we know when it's the end times, basically? And a lot of people are asking that question today, aren't they? All right? How many of you survived September 23rd? Okay, I'm still here. I don't know about you guys. All right? But People are asking, what about the end of the world? When is it coming? Jesus literally in Acts 1:8 says, don't worry about it. Or Acts 1:7 says, don't worry about it. Okay? He says, stop worrying about it. You guys are too concerned with trying to know every detail of the future. Instead, do stuff now. And that's where 1:8 comes into play. Go with the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses. Don't worry about when the end of the world is coming. Just be obedient and go. Little aside. Whole totally different message. All right. Coming back. So the last question we need to ask ourselves, how do and how can we influence others? How do we influence others? We know what we need to do with our influence. We need to go. We need to make disciples by baptizing them and by teaching them. So we need to first, okay, we need to make sure that we've been discipled. You can't teach someone about the Bible if you don't know it yourself. You need to ask yourself, how well do I know the scriptures? How can I teach my family the scriptures if I don't know what I'm talking about? Now, there are things you definitely know and you can definitely communicate. You don't have to be a theology scholar to teach your family, okay? So don't be insecure about that. But you also should be growing in what you know as well, all right? So we know how we should be doing it. What to do with it, excuse me. We need to go who we know who we should go to, our sphere of influence, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. And now we ask ourselves, how can we influence others? How do we do this? We talked about it just a little bit, but the cool thing about this verse is it is sandwiched between two promises. 28:19 is the Great Commission. Go into all the world, et cetera, et cetera. It is sandwiched between two promises that gives us the how. The first one is verse 18. Jesus says, I have been given all authority. Jesus, we do this because Jesus not only says we should, but because he equips us to do it. Jesus is the example. Jesus has been given power, and now you and I have the authority through him to go and do this. Why do we have that authority? How do we do this? Jesus' work on the cross. Colossians 1, 21 and 23 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul says that you and I are empowered to go and preach the gospel because Jesus Christ has made a change. It comes full circle. We go, we can do this. We have the power to do this because what Christ has already influenced in our life. Because what Christ has already influenced in this world, in metaphysics, in the fact that he's defeated death and the grave. He has washed our sins away, defeated every sickness and illness that can come against us. Because he has done this and he has been given the authority over it all, we too have that authority and we can now go and have influence because Jesus has influenced us. In the book of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul talks about how the fact that we have power and authority to overcome even evil spirits, demonic forces in the spiritual realm, we have power over them because of Jesus' sacrifice and, more importantly, his resurrection. The other promise is in verse 20. He says, surely I am with you. Surely I am with you. When we go, when we make disciples, when we baptize, when we begin teaching, guess what? Jesus is with us. His Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us and has been given to us. It's here. Acts 1:8. We have received power. He's got our backs. He supports us. You are not alone this morning as you go, as you baptize. As followers of Jesus, we need to influence others' lives. We need to be an influence in their lives. Why? Because he has influenced us. He has made a change in who we are. He has come to be that perfect sacrifice to take the sins of the world. And because of that, out of our own thanksgiving, out of our own worship, Christ says to go, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to grow. That's not just a call to me. That's not just a call to ministry leaders. That's a call to all of us. You bow your heads this morning. There are many different ways we can take this sermon, responses to how this message is. The first one we need to ask ourselves before any others, preliminarily, have I accepted that gift of salvation? Have I accepted that gift of salvation? Before we can be an influence, we need to understand and accept the influence that Jesus wants to be in our lives first. And so, as I do often, I want to ask you and give you the opportunity to receive that in your life. As you accept it, Jesus can come in and influence who you are as we walk closer to Him. This morning, if you would like to make that decision to follow Him, to accept His salvation, the grace that He poured out on that cross so many years ago, just shoot up your hand right now. This morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed without anyone looking around, we're going to pray a prayer. This morning, it's not a magical or mystical prayer, but these words, if you mean them in your heart, the Bible tells us we will be saved. He will take away our sins, make our hearts brand new, and help us to follow after Him. Repeat these words after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I love you. But I mess up. I have fallen. I've sinned. And you're the only solution. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for raising from the dead. Come into my life. Take away my sin. Make me new. Show me your truth. And help me to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen." If you would continue in this time of worship and just introspection, that's the first challenge. That's the first response we have. Do you know Jesus? The second one is, has Jesus influenced my life? Some of you have made that choice and made that decision years ago, and you can't remember a difference that He's made. How have you let Him influence your life? Has your own pride got in the way? I want to do it my way. Jesus, come and influence my life this way. These are pretty good things that I'd like. Has that gotten in the way? The third thing I want you to ask yourself, do I have a heart for the non-believer? Do those that don't believe, are we going to them? And not beating them over the head with God's word, but showing them His love. Showing them that we care about them. Developing a relationship and then showing them there is a better way. There is a hope. Are you using your influence? The Holy Spirit plays a role in how we influence, but ask yourself, what part do I play? Are you displaying humility, compassion, love? Is there forgiveness in your heart when the world would say unforgiveness? Put up a barrier. Close the doors. Even if the other person doesn't forgive you, when we begin to forgive and change our hearts, it changes who we are. When we allow Christ to heal our hearts, there's a difference. There is a change. Who are you influencing today? How are you using the influence that God has given you in your families, in your ministry, in the body of Christ. Dear Lord, I just pray today that we would come before you honestly, open our hearts and allow it to be changed and influenced by you. Lord, we thank you for what you have done on the cross today, the stripes that you bore for us, for our salvation and for our healing. Lord, I pray that as we understand that influence, as we allow you to influence us, we would go, we would make disciples, we would teach, we would show your love to wherever we have influence. Lord, with our funds, with our resources, with our life, in our family, Lord, the people would say there is something different about that person. And you would be able to say, it's because I know Jesus. Lord, help us when we fall and when we fail. Lord, help us to strive for perfection, though we can never meet it. Be our guide as we follow closely after you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Go today. Be influencers wherever that may mean for you. Love you. God bless.